Rejection can be very scary and very painful. Ask me how I know. And a lot of times, fear of rejection can keep you from going after your higher level, higher income role that you desire. So in today's episode, I am walking you through how to handle rejection, why it feels so painful, and even sharing my own history with rejection so that you can move through that fear and still get promoted into your higher level role. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. So glad to have you here as usual. So 7 years ago, back in 2018, when I first started working as a professor, I became so intimately familiar with rejection. So my full-time job is as a professor, and specifically a tenure-track professor, and the biggest part of our job in tenure track roles is doing research. So getting published in journal articles, landing grants, collecting data, analyzing your data, writing it, getting published, presenting at conferences, et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest one is getting published. And if you're not familiar in the academic space, the publishing process can be really rigorous. So the way it works is, you know, you write a manuscript, you submit it to a journal, and then the journal or the editor journal, the journal's editor, I should say, sends it out to between 2 and 3 peers who are experts in either maybe your topic or your methodology. And those people review your article, they give feedback, they send it back to the journal. And then finally, the editor makes a decision about, you know, if your journal is accepted, if it's rejected, or if they want you to make some revisions and resubmit it. A typical journey to getting published can take, I would say, a minimum 5 months, between 5 months to 12 months. Like, I've had projects take over 12 months before. And again, remember I said a big part of getting tenured is publishing, but not just publishing, but having a specific number. So it differs per institution. But imagine that in 5 years, you need to have published about 12 manuscripts, and each one can take between 6 to 12 months to get done. All that to say, it's a really rigorous process, and rejections are, like, when I was coming into academia, yes, I knew rejections were a thing, but I didn't know how much of a thing they were. And where am I going with this? I think my first 3 articles that I submitted got rejected. Like, I was getting so, like, my first semester, I don't even think, maybe I submitted 1 thing for publication my first semester. My second semester, I'm trying to ramp it up. I submit more things, rejections left, right, and center. I actually remember talking to my mentor back then and being like, how did this get rejected? And then the person who left feedback, because they usually share with you the reviewer's feedback. And I'm like, they're leaving comments that have nothing to do with my manuscript. Like, this is pointless feedback. And it was rejected. I was hot. I was so hot. And then I think by year 2, I was starting to get things accepted. But I should say, like, since then, at least once a year as a professor, I have gotten a project flat out rejected. Not, you know, this is good, revise it, resubmit it. No, straight up, we don't want this. This is crap. Doesn't work. Doesn't work for our journal. Take it back. Why am I sharing this? Your girl is familiar with rejection. My goodness. I am so familiar with rejection. And the moment where rejection took on a new meaning for me. I think it was maybe my third year. I remember this so clearly. I was driving home from work. I had just gotten a rejection. I didn't even read it. And I was driving home and I think I was probably talking to the Lord, like, God, what is happening? Why do like what? I keep getting rejected. How am I supposed to get tenure if I can't do research? And I just remember thinking, and maybe it was the Holy Spirit talking to me, but just having this sense of, okay, just because something was rejected doesn't mean it's not valuable. I don't know why it was rejected. And I'm going through this period for a reason. Like this rejection lesson, I'm going through it for a reason and a purpose. And that reason became so clear to me years later when I'm either, you know, helping my own mentees navigate research rejection, or as a coach, I talk about rejection so much with clients because it is such a typical part of the job search process. And I'm sharing that story because as I go into today's topic about handling rejection and still advancing in your promotion, I really want you to, one, know that I legit have context. Like up until this point in my career, I am still getting rejected for things, whether it's a manuscript or submitting to a conference or applying for an opportunity to speak. I'm always getting rejected for things and I'm still doing really well in my career. The two things are not mutually exclusive. You can get rejections and still be doing amazing work and still be advancing and still be thriving at work. Rejections are just par for the course. But what I often see from a lot of women is that when they face a rejection in their career, they internalize it. They start thinking that they did something wrong, or they're not cut out for the promotion, or that maybe they should just stop trying, right? They take rejection personally because they think, you know, it was guaranteed. I'm qualified. I should have gotten it. And so the disappointment is heavy. The frustration is heavy. And then over time, if not dealt with, what I've then seen happen is it starts to become an identity issue. What was once an objective, and I mean this, what was once an objective situation starts to become an internalized identity. You start to say, oh, because I got rejected, I must not be good enough. I must not be ready to advance into a director or higher level. I must not have what it takes. I must not have the skills. I must not be ready. And once you start to internalize rejection, game over. Game over, because now it's going to become a thing that then holds you back from ever trying again, right? And so if that sounds familiar to you, I want us to talk, because if you don't handle rejection strategically, it can really derail your motivation. It can cause you to just stop trying at work, make you hesitate to even advocate for yourself, and keep you from landing that higher level, higher impact, higher paying role that you really truly desire. So it's important for us to really get context for why does rejection hurt? And then I want to share with you how you can actually handle rejection and still get promoted, still advance in your career, still increase your salary by 50K or more without, you know, like don't let the rejection derail everything. So let's start by talking about why rejection hurts so much. And when I'm saying rejection, it could be anything. Maybe you applied for a job externally, like to a new organization, and they just flat out said no. Or maybe you tried internally, you asked for a promotion internally, and they said, wait your turn, you're not ready, you don't have leadership material, you're not qualified, do this and we'll consider. Like they just did something to reject you internally. Either way, it's still a rejection. And the things about rejection is one reason why they hurt so much is that it can feel like a statement of your worth, but it's not. Like I was saying earlier, when you start to internalize a rejection as meaning you're not good enough, now you're tying your worth to a decision that honestly you have no knowledge why they made it. And I mean that so seriously and candidly. You do not know. You will never fully know why you were rejected. Like they can give you, you know, some excuse or another reason, whatever it may be, but you will never know all the reasons. And I'm saying this because I have been on multiple hiring committees over my years in my career. And every time we have turned somebody down, we've never told them the full reason. By the time we get to that point of even interviewing, usually everyone who's interviewing with us is qualified for the job. And so if I think of, okay, the rejections we've done in the past, what has it been? One time, one person just had an area of expertise that nobody in our team had. And we recognized that that area of expertise was kind of the future of where the field was going. So we picked that person over the other person simply because of her area of expertise. Another time, candidly, it was somebody just didn't seem like she wanted to work with us. Her energy was low. She hadn't done her research. So we picked the person who was enthusiastic. Did we say that in the rejection? No. Usually they'll just tell you, we found somebody more qualified, or we went with a more qualified candidate. They don't give you all the details. So I'm saying this so that you recognize that you cannot, like, it is not logical for you to take a rejection personal, because you never even know that it was a personal reason why you got rejected. You never fully know the reason you didn't get the opportunity. You never fully know who beat you out and why. Like, literally, you could get rejected because the hiring manager's boss got the job. Or sorry, I meant to say the hiring manager's son got the job. And they won't tell you that, hey, we hired our kid, because, I mean, nepotism happens, right? And so here you are. You might be beating yourself up thinking, I wasn't good enough. I didn't do enough. I didn't show myself enough. Meanwhile, you literally never had a chance. Like, literally, there was never a chance, because that person was always going to hire their kid. So it's important that you just recognize rejection is not a statement of your worth. Most hiring and promotion decisions are not about worthiness. They are about perception. They are about relationships. And they are about alignment with the company's business priorities. One thing I always love to tell my clients is, remember that rejection is somebody else's personal opinion. It is not a fact about you, your worth, or your value. Let me say that again. Rejection is somebody else's personal opinion. It is not a fact about you, your worth, your skills, or your value. So therefore, you can get rejected and still be excellent, highly qualified, very valuable, and still the rejection still happened. That's fine. Another reason why rejection hurts so much is that it triggers our fear and self-doubt. After a rejection, it's so easy to want to hide and protect yourself from future disappointment, because, again, a part of your brain is taking the rejection personally. Oh, they rejected me, so I must be the problem. So let me hide myself. Let me protect myself. Let me keep myself back. So then what happens? You end up in a vicious cycle where you stop applying for higher level jobs. And so then you lose visibility either in your company or in your field. And then because you lose visibility, you reinforce the idea that you're not ready for leadership. And so then when you apply again, you might get rejected again. Then you stop applying, you lose visibility, you reinforce that you're not ready for leadership. Good leaders know how to pivot from rejection. And if you are trying to get promoted into a director or higher level, you have to have a leadership mindset, because that's what you're going to be, a leader. So if you cannot handle a simple rejection in your job search, how are you going to handle deals getting rejected as a leader, vendors canceling contracts, clients firing your company, team members quitting? Like, you have to build up the skill set now of seeing rejection as a neutral event and not tying it to your worth or to your morality. So when that fear, when that self-doubt, if you face a rejection and you're afraid or you're doubting yourself or your value, you have to be able to step back and say, you know what? No, I don't know why I got rejected. It happened. This is a natural part of the process. Let me just keep moving toward my goal. And then another reason that rejections can hurt a lot is because it makes you even question if you should be trying for a promotion, right? So if you have been applying or asking internally for a higher level promotion role and you get rejected, it's now very easy for your brain to say, you know what? Maybe I'm not ready for a promotion. That's why they keep saying no. Maybe I don't have the skills, right? Maybe if they said no, then they must know something that I don't know. And then you might settle and stay in your current role because it feels safer. It feels comfortable. At least I have a job. And so then that keeps you from hitting your heart's desire of landing more income, more impact, or even more influence in your career. So then you just settle, and then you look up 3 years later, 4 years later, you're thinking, I never even meant to stay in this job this long. And it's been 6 years and I'm still here. My salary hasn't grown much. My title hasn't changed much. I'm doing the same work. I'm bored. I'm stagnant. I'm not even growing. My skills are not advancing. Now you start feeling resentment because rejection made you settle. That's not fun. Like, that's not healthy. That's not good for you. Like, you have to recognize that when you are, I remember I said this once to a client years ago and it really resonated with her. I'm like, when you're applying for a job, you're asking somebody for something, right? Like, you are asking a company to give you something. When you ask anybody, for anything, even God, like your heavenly Father who provides you with literally everything you need, even him, when you ask anybody for anything, there are really only three options of answers you're going to get. Yes, no, not yet. All three of those are very, very valid and valuable answers. But what does that tell you? No is a valid response to your ask. We're not entitled to the job just because we're qualified for it. So if you ask for a job, which is what you're doing when you apply for it, and they say no, that's a valid response. They have every right to say no. Your job now is to move on and go find somebody who's going to say yes to you. Like they did their job, do yours. It's really, and I don't mean to sound like, remember, I told that story at the beginning because I know like my style of coaching is very direct. It's very straight to the point. So I don't mean to sound unempathetic. I'm just, this is where I have gotten after dealing with rejection multiple times in my career. It's like, look, they did their part. Is it painful? Yes. But should it derail you? No. If you have a goal, you keep doing what you need to do until you get your goal. Nobody should be stopping you from hitting your goal. And so instead of letting rejection make you think that, oh, I must not be good enough or valuable enough, you have to spin it. You have to change the mindset. You have to realize that the problem here is not your value. It's how do you handle rejection? How do you recognize that rejection is a natural part of the application process? How do you use or adjust your strategy based on that rejection to strengthen your positioning so you can get promoted? Like if you know that you are ready to get promoted, if you know that you want more money in your career, you want more influence, you want more impact, rejection is not a sign to stop. It's a sign for you to shift your strategy, shift your approach, and keep going. Like I always say, if you have a goal to land anything, right? Get a job, point blank, period. If you have a goal to hit something, you don't stop trying until you hit it. It's really just, unless the Lord speaks to you and says, this is not the path I have for you, The process is part of the journey. You just keep changing it. Like, and this is key. You keep changing your strategy and doing what you need to do. And I'm saying that because we know what they say. When you keep doing the same thing and you expect a different result, yeah, that's insanity. Don't do that. But how can you, when you face a rejection, how can you step back? And this is something that I used to do. So what helped me start handling rejection better in my, like with my research, whenever I would see a rejection, like, because they'll send you an email. And in the first line, you already know if you know the decision, right? Did they accept it? Did they reject it? Are they asking for revisions? Once I see this, I started doing this like maybe 5 years ago, and it really changed the game for me with articles. Because once I see, we are sorry, your manuscript has been rejected. Once I see that first sentence, I close the email. I don't read anything else. I don't read the feedback, nothing. Because I know that in that moment, I am emotional. I know whether I acknowledge it or not, I feel hurt, I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel upset, right? Because it feels like all my work was for nothing. It feels like I thought this was a good piece of work. It feels personal, okay? Just because I'm saying don't make it personal doesn't mean it doesn't feel personal. But something can feel a way and you don't have to act on that feeling. So I don't read rejection emails when I get them. Rejected, okay, fine. I close the email and I go about my day. And then maybe 3 days later, 2 days later, a week later, sometime later, I then will come back and I will read the email. Why? Because now that I'm removed from the initial emotion of the rejection, I am no longer making it mean anything emotionally. It is now just a neutral piece of data. Now I can read their feedback. I can see, okay, what was good, what was not helpful. And then usually what I'll do is I'll take the feedback that's helpful. I'll rewrite the manuscript, reposition it for a different journal, submit it to a different journal. And almost every time I do that, then it gets accepted. Notice what I said, reposition it, take the feedback, strengthen it, change the positioning for a new audience, and then it gets accepted. Job searching, getting promoted is the same thing. Step back from the rejection, step back from the feeling of it, think about your approach. If they gave you feedback, think about the feedback. Ask yourself, okay, then how can I shift my strategy for the next time that I'm going to go up for a higher level role, go up for promotion, so that I can increase my chances of actually getting promoted? Right? So the thing about rejection, if you're trying to get promoted, rejection is a sign to refine your approach. And so this is where you want to combine both faith and strategy to help you keep showing up and positioning yourself strategically while trusting that the right opportunity will open for you. So that being said, let me share with you three ways to handle rejection and still get promoted. Like, how can you do what I've just said of not making it personal, not letting it derail you? How can you approach this rejection in a way that doesn't entirely stall your career? So the first thing you're going to want to do is treat rejection as data and not a statement of your worth. Okay? Treat that rejection that you got as just, it's a piece of data. Most rejection decisions aren't usually about if you're good enough or not. They're usually about, did it align with the business outcomes that the company wants? Does the timing make sense? Are there internal relationship dynamics at play? Like, if you haven't been listening to all the episodes that I have dropped before this one, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Like, listen to episodes around why you still get rejected when you're qualified and why hard work is not going to get you promoted. And, you know, like, why you need to work less to get promoted. Because if you listen to those, you'll see what I'm saying about how hard work and qualification is not what gets you the promotion. So therefore, if that's not what gets you the promotion, that's probably not why you were rejected. You weren't rejected because you were not good enough or because you didn't work hard enough. No, it's just who better aligned with what the outcome they desire? Did the timing make sense? Who knows who? Who had the relationship? Right? Especially if you are applying externally and they're doing multiple round interviews. If you made it to the final round of an interview, you were already seen as capable. Like, objectively, the skills were already there. At that point, the rejection was about fit, not ability. It's that simple. So when you get rejected, it's just simply an objective piece of data that you can collect and use to move forward, to keep going forward toward your goal. So how might you gather data? If possible, you can ask for specific feedback. Now, this one is not a guarantee because a lot of times, you know, recruiters are overwhelmed, hiring managers are talking to so many people. Sometimes they'll just ghost you. They won't give you the feedback, but it doesn't hurt for you to ask, especially when you are applying for a director and higher role. The pool isn't usually as high or as large, I should say, as mid or entry-level roles. So they might have space to give you feedback, especially, again, if you got to interview rounds. At that point, it was personal. They might be willing to give you feedback. So you can ask questions like, you know, what gaps did you see in my experience or how I communicated my value? You know, what would have made me a stronger candidate for this role? Right? You can ask questions about like that to help you understand why they passed you over. If you are getting rejected multiple times, you can also look for patterns in the feedback, right? If you're hearing, if they keep saying, we wanted more leadership experience, then that means you're not positioning yourself as a leader, right? Or if they say something like, we wanted somebody who has experience leading cross-functional teams. Okay, that means you need to talk about, and you're thinking to yourself, wait, but I have led cross-functional teams. I've led teams across different departments. Well, guess what? You didn't communicate that. You didn't put that in your positioning. That's why they thought you couldn't do it. So now you have a piece of data. You are not communicating your cross-functional leadership ability well. And guess what you're going to do with that data? You're going to adjust how you frame your leadership contributions for the next job. You're going to adjust it on your resume, adjust it on your LinkedIn profile, adjust it in the next interview you go on. Right? If they say something like, you know, it just came down to fit, then that's a sign that the issue wasn't about capability. It was just internal. They were playing games. You can't control fit. Right? So just think about rejection as data, objective data. There is no, rejection is neither good nor bad. We attach goodness or badness to it. And the goodness or badness that you attract to rejection will determine how you move forward after the rejection. Rejection is a neutral event. Why is it neutral? Because you don't know why they rejected you. I said this to you earlier. You will never know the full reason why. It's a neutral, objective event. Treat it as such. It's a piece of data. Treat it as such. Move forward accordingly. The second way that you can handle rejection in a way that still moves you forward to get promoted is to keep positioning yourself. Don't let rejection make you invisible. And this is especially important if you're trying to land an internal promotion. Because the mistake that I see most people make is after a rejection, they pull back. They stop showing up. They stop trying. And somehow you think you're going to show them, right? Like, I'm not going to show up as much. I'm not going to do as much. I'm going to hold my boundaries, which, mind you, I love boundaries. I've talked about that before. But now you're just playing yourself, If you, like, you personally truly want more income, more impact, and more influence in your career, that means you want the promotion. If you are committed to getting it internally, then you got to do the work to make it happen. And when I say do the work, I'm not saying take on more tasks or do more hard work. I'm saying do the work of positioning yourself, making yourself visible, building the relationships that will get you promoted. Because when you pull back, what that does is it reduces your visibility and then it lowers your chances of being considered for the next opening. So if you're really trying to get promoted internally and you get rejected, you need to stay visible and increase your influence in the company. How can you keep scheduling one-on-one meetings with leaderships and get on their radar? How can you present at department meetings, at strategy sessions, at higher level meetings to be on their radar? How can you be part of high visibility projects that are important to the company right now so that people, leaders, decision makers see you as a valuable employee who can contribute at that higher level? Like, if you don't stay visible after a rejection, the leaders might think or assume that you are not interested anymore, and that can keep you out of the next promotion conversation. Or they might just see the way you handle rejection as a sign that you're not ready for promotion. So you just need to think about how can you position yourself differently so that you can get the promotion. Now, I should say, I haven't said this in this episode, but I very much believe if you're trying to get promoted internally, if they say no twice, my philosophy is that then it's time for you to move to an external organization. Like, after they reject you twice internally, especially, so this is the way, let me tell you how I came across that number twice. The first time they reject you, you ask for feedback. They tell you what you need to do differently, what skill sets you were missing, what gaps you were missing. Okay, that's fair. And then you go and you position yourself, you fill those gaps, you shore up those gaps, you build your skill set, and you apply again, and they say no after you did what they asked you to do. To me, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. One, they were dishonest, because if they gave you that feedback, they made it seem like if you do A, we will give you B. And then you did A, they didn't give you B. They went back on their word. They're not trustworthy. Two, to me, that says that they don't value you. If they say no the first time and you improved upon yourself and they say no again, they're showing you that they don't value you. It's time to go. That's my philosophy. Two rejections, it's time to go somewhere else. But sometimes I recognize that sometimes you might want to stay in a company for whatever reason. You know, geographically, they feel like they're the only viable option. They're usually not, but it feels that way. Or you just really like the company. You like what they stand for. Whatever it may be, you want to be internal. Then keep positioning yourself. Now, if you're going externally after a rejection, you've already heard the feedback. They've told you that you don't have leadership potential. You don't have the skills they're looking for. You don't seem qualified. So then guess what? When you go to apply externally, you're going to really highlight those things. You're going to highlight when you've led. You're going to highlight when you were responsible for decision making. You're going to highlight when you shaped business outcomes. You're going to highlight your impact. That's how you then position yourself as a leader and land the promotion. And mind you, that's exactly what I help my clients do in my one-on-one coaching Next Level Career. When I work with my clients, we use my impact framework to help them identify their impact, identify where they've already been making a difference. And then we really work together to create a resume that shows that. I help them redo their LinkedIn profile to show their impact. I give them interview script to navigate interviews and have conversations and network. That way they can land a 20 to 50K promotion within 6 months. This is what I help my clients do in Next Level Career. So if you have a desire to get a higher level job so you can increase your salary by 20 to 50K and have more impact or more influence in your career, you should definitely check out Next Level Career. If you go to privatecareercoaching.com, you can learn all about how to work with me one-on-one, where I will help you land your higher level job within 6 months. And then the final way that you can handle rejection, this one is specifically for you if you're a Christian woman, is to lean into your faith and keep trusting the process. Sometimes we will over-spiritualize. I know that I've done this. We will over-spiritualize a rejection as meaning that God is entirely closing the door. Meanwhile, he might just be positioning you for the right opportunity. Like, one of my philosophies is, if it doesn't work out, then it's not where God wanted me to be. And if it works out, it's where the Lord wanted me to be. Like, that's how I live my life. Like when the Bible says have faith like a child, legit, I'm just like, okay, my daddy's got it in control. If it didn't happen, he didn't want it to happen again. Will it hurt? Yes, but I just trust that God has something better for me. Now, trusting that he has something better doesn't mean that I should stop trying to get promoted entirely. It might just mean that that company was wrong, that state was wrong, that organization was wrong, but the role might still be right. So your responsibility is to keep showing up and positioning yourself. Let the Lord handle the outcome, right? Faith means trusting that your value is not determined by rejection. Faith means trusting that God has something great for you in your career. Faith means that even when leaders don't immediately recognize your value, you know that you've developed your skill set and God has plans to prosper you and not to leave you alone. Faith means trusting that if the opportunity didn't open up, it's because there's a better one waiting for you somewhere, but it's not just going to come and find you. Now, can it? Yes, the Lord be doing that sometimes. You have to stay in motion. Like, I believe firmly that when it comes to things happening in our lives and the Lord showing up, that he wants us to participate in the process. And for me, that comes from whenever I think about the very first miracle that Jesus did, almost all of them actually. But when I think of the water to wine story, you know, before Jesus made wine, he told them to go fill all the jugs with water. And then he turned that to wine. Do you think Jesus needed water in the jars to make wine? No, he's God. He could have just been like, give me some jugs. Oh, bloop, bloop, here's some water or some wine. But I think that the act of them having to fill the jars with water was like, it's like they took that first step of, I don't know what this means. I don't know what he's going to do with this, but I'm going to be obedient and stay in motion. I'm going to give the Lord something to work with. Here's some water. Do what you got to do. Right, like if we think about the loaves of bread and the fish, they always gave that to Jesus and then he multiplied it. Like I believe strongly that when it comes to the Lord showing up, we have to take that first step. We have to be in motion. We have to be moving because that movement is our act of faith. Like I'm going to apply believing that the Lord is going to make it happen. I'm going to have the networking conversation believing that the Lord's favor is going to follow me. I'm going to go to the networking event believing that the Lord is going to connect me with the right person. I'm going to take action to show my faith. And then the Lord is going to take it from there and act and make it happen. So when I think of navigating rejection in your career as a Christian, when you stop entirely, like when you get rejected and you say, you know what, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, then it's like you don't believe that the Lord who brought you this far is not going to leave you alone. You don't believe that he who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. Right? I think like you have to trust, lean into faith that if the Lord gave you this desire, because it says that he gives us the desires in our heart, if he gave you this desire, he will make it happen in his own time also and in his own way. But you continuing to position yourself, apply for the job, act, shows that you believe that he's still going to show up. And so leaning into your faith is such a great way to navigate rejection. At least it was for me. And it's how I just trusted that the Lord was going to show up. The Lord was going to make tenure happen. The Lord was going to make opportunities happen. And he did. Like God stays showing out in my career. And so I just wanted to offer that third one to you from a faith lens of you have to not let rejection destroy your belief in the Lord and what the Lord has for you and your career. Now, I know that you might be someone who's been applying for a while or maybe even internally. I remember working with a client once who had asked for a promotion internally 3 times and they said no 3 times, right? So multiple rejections can be very, very painful, okay? And at the same time, I think that if you're looking externally, multiple rejections mean that you are already positioned as a high-level candidate because you wouldn't be getting multiple interviews, you wouldn't be getting considered if you weren't already seen as a high-level candidate. Now, if you're not even getting to the interview level, then you know that you're positioning, something's off. Like it's, you have control over that. You are not positioning yourself well. If, and I already told you how I feel about if they say no multiple times internally, girl, it's time to go. Okay. So you need to focus. If you are thinking, you know what, but I've been rejected multiple times, then ask yourself, what do I need to change about my approach? Who do I need to be more visible with? How do I need to communicate my impact? Who do I need to be in relationship with? How can I reposition myself well for this role? How can I be connected to the right people who can make me more likely to get hired for this role? Because when you are trying to land a director or higher level role, at that point, it is all about impact and visibility. That's it. All you need is you need to be able to identify your impact and communicate your impact. And then you have to be in relationship with the right people and have a reputation that shows that you are capable of doing the job that you want to hire or get hired for. So have you communicated your impact? Are you in relationship? One of those two things is going to be the thing that's going to get you promoted. So if you've been rejected multiple times, audit your approach, audit your relationships, audit how you're connecting with people. And usually you're going to find that that's where the gap is. And if you tweak one of those, you're going to get promoted. So there you have it. 3 ways to handle rejection and still get promoted. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you have been rejected multiple times and you're feeling like you don't know how to communicate your impact, you don't know how to be in relationship, you just don't know how to move past the rejection, then you should really work with me in my one-on-one coaching, Next Level Career. Next Level Career is my 6-month coaching partnership where I work with you one-on-one to help you identify your impact, communicate your impact so that you can land a promotion while increasing your salary by between $20,000 and $50,000. If you go to privatecareercoaching.com, you can learn all about NLC and learn how to work with me, learn everything that's included, and book a free call where you and I will talk about what's been blocking you from your promotion. And I'll share with you the 3 specific ways that I'm going to help you get promoted within the next 6 months. Again, that URL is privatecareercoaching.com. It's also going to be in the description of this episode on whatever platform you're listening on. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Again, I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, don't forget to leave us a review or a rating on whatever platform you're listening on. And I will catch you on the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. If you are ready to stop feeling overlooked in your career and finally get promoted into your next level role, I have got something special for you. I created a free audio training series for professional Christian women who are ready for more money, more impact, and more influence in their careers. So if you're ready to get promoted and increase your salary by $20,000 to $50,000 without compromising who you are, visit hercareerdoctor.com/advance to sign up and listen to the free audio training today. Again, that link is hercareerdoctor.com/advance, or you can just click the link in the episode description to get started. In this free audio training, I break down everything you need to identify and communicate your existing impact so you can finally land your higher paying, higher impact role with faith and confidence. Because it's an audio training, you can listen on the go without being stuck to a computer. So go to hercareerdoctor.com/advance now to sign up for the free audio training that will break down how to advance into your next level role as a Christian woman.